You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's Open Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here at the halfway point. Hello, Patrick.
Man, up close and personal today. Yeah. I'm not too sure how I feel about this. You can definitely see my imperfections, which there are a few of, but this week they are with the early wake-up calls. Emotionally, physically, psychologically, mentally, I'm already drained, but not our boy. I think we're going to be in store for a sneaky good weekend, despite what the leaderboard looks like.
Which boy are you referencing? Brian Harman?
No. Rory, roll call, baby.
Oh, Rory.
Oh, yeah. Come on, son.
Rory
Brian Harman.
McIlroy. God, I've heard of him.
Okay.
Well, How obviously, other than the fact that it was another, 14 and a half, 15 hour day, how did you enjoy your day? I saw you firing out some tweets. I think you're getting like, you're vibing on Twitter right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to get those impressions up. My Twitter's too good to not get money off of it, right? And right. You gotta, for this new ad deal that Elon pitched to me a couple months ago and then was later publicized, you need to get 6 million impressions 3 months in a row to be eligible.
Yeah.
And so this month is very big for me in that regard. So I need those impressions, baby. I'll start paying people to impress on my tweets. I don't know. Yeah.
You know who I was impressed by? Brian Harman is who I was impressed by. He impressed me 6 million times today, because Brian Harman went out early on Friday and shot, not a typo, a 65. This looks like he pitched a perfect game, Patrick. This is four in a row on 2, 3, 4, and 5. He's 4 under through 5 holes. Then he plays at even par, hasn't made a bogey, or has made one bogey this week. And then he makes an eagle on 18 and posts 10 under. That is 5 shots clear of everybody else. I repeat, Brian Harman is 5 shots clear of everyone else in the world heading into the weekend at the Open Championship.
Speaking of pitching, he kind of reminds you of a left-hander, a Jamie Moyer type. He kind of just gets the job done. You're a Phillies fan, right?
Unfortunately, yes. The old off-speed stuff, painting the corners. Just rolling over ground balls. He's not going to overpower you.
Yeah. What was he throwing? Like 80 miles per hour.
Oh my God. If he's lucky.
Yeah. So, it felt like, perfect game. He had a chip in par there on the back nine, from like 25 yards away, but it really was just, I don't want to say boring golf. He rolled in 3 25 footers in a row to kick off his round. But a hefty dose of just fairways, greens, you pick one off when they come. The type of golf that thrives in major championships, where you hit to the fat part of the green and you reward yourself if you're a good enough putter by converting some of those opportunities. And this is a guy who has been playing some really good golf, played well at the Scottish Open, didn't have a great Sunday, runner up there at the Travelers Championship as well, and back-to-back top 20s in the Open. So you think about another kind of windy golf tournament, the one major championship where he did contend, the 2017 U.S. Open at Erin Hills. Tommy Fleetwood also in the mix that week. Harmon went into the final round with a one-stroke lead over Fleetwood, I believe. Both he, Fleetwood, and Fowler kind of threw up on themselves the final day, and then Brooks Koepka won his first major championship. But it'll be interesting to see how he handles the weekend with who he is paired with tomorrow, with how hot the putter has been through two rounds. But today might go down as one of the best rounds of the whole year.
Gained 8.5 strokes to the field. Course played 2.5 shots over par. He has gained 8.4 strokes putting through two rounds. Now, he is a very good putter. He gained 5 through 4 rounds at the Scottish Open, another 5 at the Travelers, 4 at Detroit Golf Club, which, by the way, are his last 3 events. All 3 of them were top 12. So I do not expect him to gain another 8. Patrick, right? I don't expect him to gain 16 strokes putting this week, because that would be a record. But has he built himself up enough of a cushion for that not to matter?
I think if he shoots even par over the weekend, he wins the Open Championship.
I agree.
And so I think for me, where these guys, there's always going to be one round when you have to scratch and claw to something. And for Brian Harmon, he needs his tee to green game to carry him that day. He needs that round to be something like one over or even par instead of a 74 or 75 where he can let people back into it. So that'll really be the deciding factor, I think, for this Open Championship. You always hear players talk about scratching out a round that should be in the mid 70s, but somehow they come in around even par. Those are the rounds they're most proud of. I think one of those has to be in store for Brian Harmon if he wants to win this championship. And I think that's kind of a big if.
A 5-shot lead is pretty ironclad through 36 holes at a major championship. So I only have back to 1980 here, but then I realized 1980 is 43 years ago. So that's what, 160 something major championships. There have been, by my counts, 8 previous leads of 5 or better. All of them have converted.
Who were they?
You want to guess?
Rory McIlroy at this championship.
Rory McIlroy at this championship is not correct. He had a 4-shot lead.
Damn it. Tiger once upon a time.
Tiger at Pebble.
That's it. That's the only one.
That's the only one you got. There's 7 others.
Oh, Bethpage.
Brooksy.
With Brooks.
Yeah.
Scotty at the Masters had 5, I think.
Scotty at the Masters had 5.
That's probably all I got.
Jordan Spieth at the 2015 Masters. Louis Oosthuizen at the 2010 Open. Nick Price at the 94 PGA, Martin Keimer at the 2014 U.S. Open, Rory McIlroy at the 2011 U.S. Open. All of them were 5-shot leads or better. All of them won that major championship.
Okay, well, all of those players, Keimer was the former world number one at that point. I think he won the Players' Championship that season as well. Scotty was unbelievable that year. Tiger's Tiger. Rory's Rory. Nick Price is one of the more underrated players to play the game. Where does Brian Harmon fall along all those guys?
I think that there is. So you're telling me the list is not going to be Tiger, Rory, Martin Keimer, Nick Price, Brian Harmon, Brooks.
The Open posted one graphic after the round today, and it was like, all-time 36 hole scoring record at Hoylake, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Brian Harmon.
I saw that. So sick. I think there's two things. Okay, so this comes down to the golf course. Okay.
Yep.
Which golf courses can allow you to cough up a 5-shot lead? I think this is one of them, right? We've seen guys from like the middle of the fairway make an 8 on 18. Right. We have seen if you get a little unlucky in a bunker that things go sideways very, very quickly. So I think there are doubles and triples lurking. And I can't remember who said it on Thursday. I think it was Emiliano Grillo who said you can make bogey on every hole out here. And I agree with that. So that is, I think, a problem for Brian Harmon. The good thing for Brian Harmon is his style of play removes a lot of the trouble, right? Which is, he doesn't hit it far enough to reach a lot of these pop bunkers, and he rarely misses the fairway. And when he does, he misses very small. So that's going to be the battle for the next 36 is, can Brian Harmon avoid the trouble? If he avoids the trouble, and like you said, shoots even par, even if he shoots 72, 72, he might win this, because that might be good enough to gain a stroke and a half a day for the next 2 days. It might be over. So that's the question. If Brian Harmon avoids bunkers, he wins.
I agree with that. And even today, the one he was in, that was the hole where I believe he only hit one fairway bunker today. That's the hole when he chipped in for par from like 25 yards.
Which, by the way, like, just removing everything else, this stat profile screams regression. 8.5 strokes putting. If that ball does not hit the stick, it is over the green on the other side, by the way. Instead, he taps in for birdie. Like, that's a two-shot swing probably right there. So I don't want to, like, okay, cool. If Brian Harmon wins, great. But like, I got some red flags here.
You and me both. But like you said, it really is going to be about that big number. And what I think's been the best hole of the tournament so far, the par 5 18th, you saw it on full display with guys trying to make the cut. Brooks Koepka made a triple bogey. Cam Smith made an eagle within 30 minutes of each other. Uh-huh. So it really will be, can he not lose a golf ball, and can he not hit a tee shot into a bunker? And even if we've seen it with the new, the RNA, talk about spineless, changing the bunkers up another rivet. Is that what it's called?
It's a revet.
Yeah. The
revet.
Okay. Okay. Revet.
I don't know.
I guess that's how they say it over there. What are we doing?
That was a tough scene this morning.
Oh my goodness. But there's still the possibility of even like greenside, like getting boned. We saw it with Wyndham Clark today when he made a double bogey. So bunkers number one and internal OB. But with the rain coming and the weather coming, and
they are getting a different wind tomorrow, which I think is fun because that changes the golf course. So they're going to get a different wind, and it's going to be a little windier, and it's going to rain basically all day, from what I understand as hashtag not a meteorologist.
Hashtag it. I don't think Brian Harmon's going to be your Open champion. I just don't think it's going to happen. There's going to be a moment where, sorry, I got a train rolling in my background.
It's okay.
That agrees with me. It's the Rory train. It's on its way over.
Oh boy.
There's going to be a moment where something goes awry. And I don't think it's as easy as a double bogey on a hole. It gets the blood pumping, and then everything changes.
I think it'll be down to two shots by the time they make the turn tomorrow.
Wow, really? Who's catching them?
Anybody, right? That's the beauty. That's the beauty of this golf course. There's a 65 or a 66 out there, and there is a 76 out there, and someone will do what Brian Harmon did and go out in 31 or whatever. And Brian Harmon could potentially make one bad swing and make a double. There is a thing called leaderboard gravity that exists on every golf tournament in the history of golf that is not won by Tiger Woods.
Okay. I don't think it will be cut to two by the back nine tomorrow. I would say by Sunday when they make the turn.
Okay.
And then at that point, it really does come down to, you hit it in the fairway bunker on the back nine on Sunday, like, unless you're making a sturdy major championship par, you're boned. So I think he holds on. I think he holds his own. But like you said, leaderboard gravity, there are a lot of big names kind of in the shallows waiting, capable, who haven't put together the complete round yet, but are right there and a couple shots away, that I think they'll give him a scare. And then on the back nine on Sunday, anything can happen. We saw it last year when Cam Smith shot 30.
His closest chaser is Tommy Fleetwood, five back, even par 71, which doesn't sound great, but remember that gains a stroke and a half to the field. I thought Tommy was gritty coming down the stretch, made a couple of really good putts on what, 16, 17, 18 to kind of get this thing in without being too far back, because he was one over for the round on 13. He birdies both 14 and 15. So this was a gritty, nice finish to keep yourself within arm's reach of Brian Harmon.
Today, I thought was going to be Tommy Fleetwood's most difficult day. You're sleeping on the lead. You have the high of just shooting five under. You're playing great. You made a ton of putts that got the crowd rolling. And like you said, gritty, I think solid is another good term. Just solid professional golf by Tommy Fleetwood. You know, turns in one over, that's fine. Gets a bonus from like 60 feet on 10, which wasn't expecting. But for me, the real big putt was after those two birdies when he got up and down for bogey and pretty much secured his spot in the final group tomorrow. Yeah. Another big par putt there on 17 as well. I didn't like the shot selection, kind of hitting a hook over there, but so be it. Makes like an 11-footer. And to be in that final group is huge. We saw it with Wyndham Clark. Granted, it was a day later where he made birdie on 18, got himself into that final group with Ricky Fowler on Sunday. But I think it's going to be huge for Tommy Fleetwood. On Saturday, moving day, he's going to have to lean on that crowd. He's five back. It's going to – I don't want to say it's going to feel like a Ryder Cup. I don't want to go full Taylor Gooch on you. But – The crowd will be very one-sided in that final game, and it could go one of two ways. We've seen all the Brian Harmon stories of when he made Ricky Fowler cry in college. You know, he really does play with a chip on his shoulder, but Fleetwood's caddy has been saying all week, you know, I've been telling Tommy, it's our time. Be selfish this week. Do it for yourself. And I think that'll serve someone like Tommy Fleetwood extremely well. And similar to Harmon, it's going to be, well, not quite similar, but with Fleetwood, it's, is he going to be able to make enough putts? The three putt on 12 or 13 was really bad. He made up for it down the stretch, but it'll come down to Fleetwood's putter, I think, over the next 36.
Early this morning, Brian Harmon went out. Brian Harmon is 26 hours from the time he taps in a second round, the time he tees off his third round. Minwoo Lee went out early. Can I read you Minwoo Lee's recent major championship run? How about this? T5 at the US Open, T18 at the PGA Championship. He missed the cut at the Masters. Ignore that one. T21 at the Open Championship last year, 27th at Brookline, 14th at the 2022 Masters. You want to add in a couple of these elevated events. How about a T9 at the Travelers just a couple of weeks ago? A T6 at the Players Championship. And now he lurks, seven shots off the lead, two shots off of second. Minwoo Lee, a 3-under-68, vaulting him up the leaderboard.
He's just, he's gotten so popular so quick. He is so fun to watch. He plays with kind of a sense of abandonment where stingers, drivers, creativity, everything's kind of on the table, and he just pounds the golf ball too. And when you combine driving distance with a sweet short game like he does and a great putter like he has, it just makes it a lot of fun to watch him play golf. And he has just risen his game. Like you said, listing off all those starts, I believe last year at the Masters, he tied the nine-hole record, the first nine there at Augusta National. He shot 30 one day. He has that type of firepower. But we've also seen where his iron play isn't the best. It is by far his weak point, where his irons go haywire and he kind of loses pace with the guys. So it's a pretty similar story to the U.S. Open. He entered that weekend in contention. He's a bit closer to the leader relative to players in between them, not so much strokes. But God, he is so much fun to watch. To if he's able to actually make a charge, I would say he has the widest array of possibilities this weekend.
I like that he told us what his strategy was on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then he's gone out and executed it so far on Thursday and Friday, which I thought was really cool. He was going to lay back off the tee. He was probably going to hit like one driver every single day. Now we do get, again, I cannot stress this enough. Like, when you get a different wind from the prevailing wind and you're going to get different conditions, it is like playing a completely new golf course for these guys. And they are going to have to go back to things that they tried on Monday and Tuesday that they might not be super comfortable with. I do think tomorrow is going to be pretty wild.
A moving day?
A moving day. A min-wooving day. Maybe.
I'll allow it.
All right.
Been moving day. It's tough, but I'll allow it for now. I just think there's so many outcomes. Could he win this tournament? Yes. Could he shoot 75-75 over the weekend? Also, yes. So I would love to see him play well because he's so much fun to watch, like I've been saying. But he's just like an electric factory.
Yes. He's sick. I love him.
So I don't know. I don't know what to think of him from a golf fan point of view. For added intrigue, I would love it. The fans love him. He's great on social media. He said after his round, he's just hoping he doesn't get canceled soon because he loves to rile up the crowd. He plays great when he's having fun, all that good stuff. But it's going to be the iron play. For him, it has not been a strong point throughout his career. It's always been off the tee and putting, but if that's just, you know, decent for him, he said he was flushing it on the range when they had him on the range earlier in the week. He's more than capable of making a charge. It depends mainly on how ugly this weather is going to be tomorrow and how difficult the wind switch is going to be.
We need to talk about a lot of the big names who are noticeably absent from the top of the leaderboard. We will discuss those, look at the odds board and more. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Let's roll through a couple of these notables here. Not a lot of them had great days. Jordan Spieth had an okay day. And even par 71, it was better than the field average, but it's going to feel a lot worse than that here, Patrick, because Jordan Spieth went out in 32. That is 3 under par. And he got this thing to 5 under, which is where Tommy Fleetwood sits at the halfway mark. And vibes were high on Spieth Island. But he makes bogey on 10, 11, and 15. To fall back to even for the rounds, 2 under for the tournament.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a little pissed off, I think. Stepping off 7 green, an 8 fairway, he had a wedge in hand, only 100 yards, missed the green. 9, he hit it to 15 feet from 225 yards, burned the edge there, and then back-to-back bogeys to start your backside. And really for Spieth, it's what he did on that back 9. I don't know if it completely took him out of the tournament, but he now has zero room for error, I think, and needs some help from Brian Harman, as opposed to if he somehow came in at even par. All he has to do, he shot 3 over on the backside. All he has to do is play those par fives and 2 under instead of 1 over. And he's right there at 3 under, 5 under for the tournament, 5 back. He would have been in that final group with Brian Harman. So the back 9 it wasn't good. It was really sloppy. The driver kind of betrayed him a little bit. He got a couple unlucky breaks as well. But you think about nine-hole stretches in major championship golf tournaments where you kind of have to scratch out a score. And if he could have turned this into a 1-over 37 instead of a 3-over 39 and been half a dozen back, it probably would have gone a long way.
Yeah, certainly would have. 2-under par, T7 for Jordan Spieth. 1-under par, T11 for Rory McIlroy. That 1-under came here on Friday after an opening 71 even par. He birdied the first, and I was thinking, yeah, baby, here we go. Rory McIlroy out of the gate, birdies the first, and we are off and running. It was all right. It was fine. I think he's got a little bit. We were just talking about this on HQ a little bit. You kind of see when he gets a little tight or whatever it is, he gets under it with the driver, kind of flares it out to the right, and then he still has some trouble on these shorter putts, and it's not sharp. You know, he was much sharper at LACC. We've seen him much sharper last week. He's just not had the good stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of short misses on the greens.
So
the one on 30 for birdie, that felt like a kind of – yeah, he comes back and makes a birdie on the par 5 fifth. But the one on 3, that felt like it could have been a special type of round, almost comparable to a Brian Harman type. But you missed that. He missed a really short one on Thursday as well, I think, for par from like 2.5 feet. That's two strokes right there you easily could have made up. And on the back nine, I think he only hit 3 fairways. And he has that big kind of right miss going.
Yes.
That we saw at the Scottish Open. It has leaked over here. And so you can't miss right here. Luckily, what did he do on 18 today? He just blasted it way left with the driver. Did he take driver?
I don't know. I can try to find out for you, but I'm not positive off the top of my head. Let's see if I can figure this out. He hit it. 334 to the left rough, way left.
Is 8, to go back to a different 18, why doesn't everyone just blast it left with driver? Kind of like 18 at the country club.
I think they're figuring it out.
Yeah.
Because Rom was over there. There were a lot of, I'd have to pull the map, but there were a lot of guys over there, I think.
Yeah. It was kind of like last year's US Open when everyone would just hit it way right on 18.
Right.
Look, the driver needs to get better, and somewhat similar to Spieth. Well, very similar. He really doesn't have any room for error. Whether this is a good spot for him or not, I'm not totally sure. I think he needs help from Brian Harman, as do everyone else, not named Tommy Fleetwood for the most part. Fleetwood could boat race the next 36 holes if he really wanted, or it has the potential to win this tournament. But it could be, since I am driving this bus, I'm trying to do the mental gymnastics to get Rory McIlroy and us across the finish line.
Okay.
Where a scenario similar to a, not as drastic, but a Mito Pereira and Justin Thomas at the PGA Championship, where you just put together some solid golf over the 36 holes. You know you're in it. Your focus is there. But there really isn't a ton of, like, pressure shots like that wedge at LA Country Club, where one shot you feel like could make or break the championship. You just kind of string together a few holes. And there's the path there, but it is really dependent on Brian Harman and what he does. Like I said, if he shoots a pair of 71s, he probably is your champion golfer of the year. But if he shoots 74, 71, something like that, and finishes at 7-under, that gives Rory McIlroy a chance to shoot a pair of 3-under rounds and match him. God, I mean, I'm really glad to be a part of the team this week, but I signed up for Rory McIlroy to be closer in contention at the 36-hole mark. So I am doing the mental gymnastics that are are typically done by others.
I mean, he has done what we've kind of asked, right? Which is he's what, T12, T11?
I think 11.
What is the leaderboard is going insane right now. It's like changing. It's got, what is happening here?
Oh, did Richard Bland birdie the last?
No, is you know, why? This happened last week too. And they put a, I'm looking at the PGA Tour. I'll go to the Open Championship. But this happened last week where they put up a thing on the leaderboard and it said, we're going through maintenance or something. And it was like, it was almost like playing out every moment. It was like an 8-hour event was being played out like in 15 minutes. It was kind of bizarre, but that looks like what's happening right now. Rory McIlroy is T11. So that's like, yeah, that's awesome. Just the problem is that he's 9 back.
Yeah. He's got 9 people and 9 strokes between him and Brian Harman, which one side, 9 people. Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. 9 strokes over 2 rounds. It's tough to make up. It really is whatever Brian Harman does. Like I said, if he shoots 3 over the weekend, he gives people a chance. And Rory McIlroy is at the top of this list. Our boy, Rory McIlroy.
Our boy, Roars. The two big boys, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, barely made the cut. Rahm, a little bit more cushion. 2 over. Oh, my God. No, this is... Sorry, the leaderboard's all screwed up. So let's try this again. John Rahm. What did he finish at? 2 over?
2 over. He shot 1 under today.
Yeah.
Okay. T47.
Yeah. And then Scottie Scheffler, 3 over by making an up and down from the greenside bunker on 18, gives us the full double arms in the air. Not these guys aren't cut makers, man. They're winners.
What a luck box, though. It literally hit the face of the bunker, popped up, got top spin, rolled up a foot away, and even Scottie Scheffler can make that putt. But Scottie was like, for the first time in a very long time, just looked in disarray.
Yeah,
like something was missing. You could hear him like muttering to himself and to Teddy, like, oh my God, I've never had a golf ball curve that much before in my life. How does it go that way type of stuff? And that's kind of just rub of the grain. That's Lynx golf, baby. It'll make or break you. But that middle stretch there, 8 through 16. Yikes. Yikes. Putter stunk. I mean, every time they turned to him, he was just missing easy putts. On the par 5, he had a chance for birdie, the first one on the back 9. On 17, he actually hit a great little flighted wedge that fell to the left, 7 feet, miss. And, yeah, I mean, I'll say he got pretty lucky there on 18 to get up and down. When you hit the face of the bunker, it not often pops out 1 foot away from the hole. So when you are playing as well as Scottie Scheffler has this entire year, and to go through that year without getting major number 2, I don't know how you don't see it as a disappointment. Because Rick, like you've said, like we have said, Scottie Scheffler, who's to say he's going to be like this from tee to green next year?
No one.
Exactly. And you gotta pick off major championships when you are playing your best golf. And Tiger's picked off major championships when he has not been playing his best golf at times. I'm not comparing the two, but one kind of just highlights Tiger's greatness. And two, I think just overall, yeah, he has the Players' Championship and the Phoenix Open, but to go through the season where you were so dominant in a massive part of the game, to only have 2 wins, no major championships, I don't know how – he won't say he's disappointed. He said – like, he won't say he's frustrated on the greens. He won't say any of this stuff. And he probably isn't. But personally, I'm flabbergasted if he looks back on his season and he's happy with only 2 wins.
Well, it'll not be a happy weekend for Scotty or John Rahm, barring some major miracle, but it'll certainly not be a very happy weekend for Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau, Justin Rose, Taylor Gooch, Shane Lowry, Phil Mickelson, Justin Thomas, Denny McCarthy, and Dustin Johnson, who will all, they're all, honestly, DJ's probably home by now. Because that was early this morning. It was, I mean, listen, it's Lynx Golf. This stuff kind of happens, but a lot of big names that will not be around.
Brutal, man. I thought once DJ got it to 12 over, he'd turn on the gas and kind of make his climb back to the 3 over cut line and two holes. But Colin's weird. That has to suck. He made a birdie on his last hole to get to 4 over the cut line at the time, which it was looking like for most of the day until midway through the afternoon. That has to suck, thinking you made the cut with that putt and then you see the cut line and you're on the wrong side of it. But the Open Championship's never going to be Colin Morikawa's major, in my opinion. I've always said he's tailor-made for the U.S. Open. He got lucky, I think, to win his Open, similar to Jordan Spieth winning his U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. The stars kind of aligned for him, and he got one of the more difficult ones to pick off for his skill set early in his career. DJ Hurts, from one and done perspective, I think I'm officially out of it, which is a tough pill to swallow. Tony Finau, I don't know if he's going to make the Ryder Cup team. He has sucked. He has started to win golf tournaments, and at that same time, he has started to suck at major championships. It is very bizarre to me where he figures out how to win consistently down the stretch, hitting clutch shots, clutch putts, and then major championship time, he's a ghost. Justin Thomas, I mean, I called that one. I don't need to rub it in his face anymore. But he's, 75th in the FedEx Cup? He's playing in at 3M, likely the Wyndham.
Is he playing the 3M?
Yeah, he committed.
Tough scene.
And, Zach Johnson, did you read his quotes afterwards?
No.
I think he's going to pick him, no matter what.
So do I. No, I think that it, barring Justin Thomas missing every cut and not making the playoffs and then saying, I'm not in the I cannot in good conscience take a spot on this team. I withdraw myself from consideration. Unless that happens, he'll be on this team.
I think you're onto something. I think that's what he needs to do. He needs to, if he misses the FedEx Cup playoffs, he should take his name out of the hat and just be a vice captain.
Just stay home and figure you don't get to just become a vice captain because you didn't make the team. You just don't get to be part of the team. You just watch on TV like everybody else except for 12 US golfers who made the team. That's what you do. And it sucks. And that's what you do.
He can be the minister of morale over there.
Oh yeah. JT, big morale guy.
Yeah. He'll get into those guys. But it's really bad. There's nothing going right for him. And it's such a tough spot for Zach Johnson, where you go to Europe looking for your first win in 3 decades and you're going to take a shot. Yes, his Ryder Cup resume is stellar. You're going to take a shot on a guy who might finish 85th on the PGA Tour this season.
You can't. The whole thing would be a sham. You cannot pick a guy who, in a season-long contest in which it is essentially skewed for guys like him, did not get into the top third of the league, completely healthy, or at least healthy enough to be playing golf. You cannot pick that guy.
I totally agree with you, but I am not convinced Zach Johnson agrees with you, which is very there's still a ton of dominoes to fall. Like, if Brian Harman wins this week, which I know is kind of pooping on his chances, chances are he does win this week. He's on the Ryder Cup team. You got Wyndham Clark on the team. You don't think Brian Harman's on the team if he wins this week?
Does everyone who wins any event automatically get to be on the team? Like, there's not enough guys.
Well, Finau could easily be out.
Yeah, Finau could be out.
JT
could be out.
That's Clark, two spots.
Clark is in.
Right now, it's pretty much Scheffler, Cantlay, Xander. Those are the three guys I trust.
Are Brooks and Bryson playing?
Oh, I trust Brooks too. Bryson, I don't know. He showed me a lot today.
He looks
a ton. Good. One, I think he has another new logo on his hat of his own, sure, which would be number 3 lifetime, going back to the Hogan cap, the new one he has on the bill, and then I think he has a new one on the side as well, which, look, any publicity is good publicity. He showed me a ton today, though. I don't think Marco Simone's going to be a great course fit for Bryson, given how the Europeans like to set up their Ryder Cup venues.
So this is your team here. So who are you taking off of this team for Brian Harman? Okay.
Okay.
Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, Keegan Bradley, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Cam Young, Sam Burns, Ricky Fowler. Who are you taking off that team for Brian Harman?
Sam Burns. He is a more accurate Sam Burns.
Sam Burns was like the best player at the President's Cup. And he slept. He hauled around Scottie Scheffler for 3 days.
Yeah, and they didn't win a match.
Not Sam Burns' fault.
You can't be the best player at the President's Cup,
okay,
and not win a match. All right.
Okay, so what happens when Denny wins the 3M?
You Is throw Denny and you throw Brian in the octagon.
Yeah.
Last person out.
How about, yeah, I agree. No, they should have to play 18 holes match play to see for the last spot.
They're pretty much the same golfer.
Yeah.
Right?
Just like you guys go play for it. I'd be down with that.
I would take Harman over Sam Burns.
Just because he like sun runs at the Open.
What's his ranking right now?
20th.
Okay. What's Sam Burns ranking?
11th.
Oh, I don't know. I guess he did win the match play. But I mean, majors are 3x for points.
It's a sham.
I don't know how you leave
a major champion. I agree that if he wins this, he'll be on the team, but I don't think that because you won the Open, you should be on the team.
Well, the same thing happened with Phil in 2021. He didn't make the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, at least Brian Harman's had a better year than Phil had. Phil had just like the random PGA win.
Yeah, and there's some chatter about him being a captain's pick. God. By the likes of me.
We're lucky that Will Zalatoris. What if Zalatoris is like, I'm good to go. Let's go, no, baby.
No, he's returning at your hometown tournament, Vegas? Shriners.
Yeah. That'll be cool. Yeah, well, I guess Brian Harman's playing for a claret jug and a Ryder Cup spot. Let's look at the betting board. What are the odds?
Sam Burns has been trash.
Okay. So the guy who won match play, you're going to leave him out of like a match play competition?
Yeah, because Billy Horschel was so good at the President's Cup.
Billy's different.
Did you want Kevin Kisner on the Ryder Cup team?
No, because I don't want short, accurate putters like Brian Harman.
Well, for the course, I think you do. For Marco Simone. All right. Agree to disagree.
Plus 140, Brian Harman. Closing in on even money. Tommy Fleets 4-1, Rory McIlroy 11, Spieth 16, everyone else 18 or longer. You cannot bet Brian. The other thing you can't do is bet Brian Harman right now.
That is true.
Just light your money on fire. Not that he's not going to, but just like, it's not even worth the risk. I would bet some chaotic situation. Like Minwoo or like Wyndham Clark at 35. Cam Young, I'm pretty sure made a ton of birdies today and just needs to kind of clean it up a little bit. And I liked him prior to the week. He's 30-1.
He looked really good today. Really good. And honestly, I haven't given that guy credit for the head of hair he has. Strong.
Well, took his hat off. Now he's growing it out with like the flow.
Mm-hmm. Very strong. Missed some very easy putts as well coming down the stretch on the back nine. So he's at 2-under, I believe. So a full touchdown and 2-point conversion behind. I think if you want to get chaotic, I don't mind Victor. I really don't at 50-1. If you want to get weird, I would probably rather bet Victor Hovland at 50-1 at even par than Rory McIlroy at 1-under at 11-1.
I mean, every scenario is almost like a parlay. It's like Brian Harman comes back to the field and you pick the guy who overtakes him.
Correct. So 1A, Rory McIlroy. Don't need to talk anymore about him. But 1B, I think Victor Hovland off the tee. He hit it into a couple fairway bunkers today, which kind of derailed his round, but he got off to a nice start. And he would be my bet.
Okay. Did anything else tickle your fancy today?
Jason Day coming back from the, one, then went off the rails and then back again. Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah. Sepp Straka.
He birdied. So his scorecard. Here we go. Birdie on 12, 13, 14, 15, bogey 16, birdie 17, birdie 18. That is a lot of circles coming in.
You know who you're... Did you ever watch Barry on HBO?
No.
He reminds me of this character called NoHo Hank. They kind of look alike. I'll send you a picture. I don't know if you're going to see it, but he's giving me NoHo Hank vibes. Free Willy. He's just out there. He's doing his thing. He's having fun. Boom. 7 birdies.
You ever watch Impractical Jokers?
Yes.
Josh, share my screen. Brian Harman is Murr. Come on. I can't unsee this.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I can't unsee that guy's bow tie.
Yeah.
Brian Harman needs to wear that outfit tomorrow and he'll win the Open if he does.
Remember when Justin Thomas wore the tie? Like the full on.
I think that was the US Open he shot 63. That Brian Harman was the 54 hole leader at.
Time is a flat circle.
Yep.
We will be back after the final putt of round 3 of the Open Championship. And then, of course, after round 4. And we'll see. We'll see if Brian Harman gets it done. Big thanks. Producer Josh does all the hard work behind the scenes. That is Patrick McDonald, available on Twitter at Amateur Status. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
The time has come for drag queens to save the world.
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is back on Paramount Plus, and for the first time ever,
I want you to use your talent for good,
for a change.
8 iconic queens are competing for the charity of their choice.
This is how you do drag.
Who will slay it forward, win cash for their favorite cause, and a coveted spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame? RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, new season now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.